So we're in a new series called Cutting Back, right? Choosing Abundance. And last week we talked about John 15:2, about God, our Father, is the gardener, and He prunes us. He cuts back in our life what's good but not best so that we can be more fruitful. And I want us to go to our Heavenly Father, ask Him for the Holy Spirit to come and show us what needs to be cut back, right? So that we can be more fruitful. So let's pray. God, we believe You are our good Father and that You will give us the Holy Spirit if we ask for Him. So we ask for the Holy Spirit to come and convict us. What needs to change on the inside? What needs to be cut away on the inside of us so we can be more fruitful? What do we need to let go of externally so that can really happen? Jesus, right now, show us the way. And when we leave here, go with us. Help us to change. We entrust ourselves to You, God. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. When I was maybe 3 or 4, it's one of these memories that like I can remember specifics really well, but I don't remember the details of like what city I was in or whatever. But I remember my parents took me and my older siblings to like a children's museum or something. It had this big like kids grocery store with a bunch of like toy food. And if we go to this next slide here, it's got where we're going to be in the Bible. So if you want to be flipping to Isaiah 55, kind of the middle of your Bible, you can use the table of contents to get there. But while you're turning there, because I want you to have it in front of you while we're here today. But I go to this little kids grocery store, and I was young enough, like I didn't really understand it. And I remember my parents trying to explain like, oh no, this is fun. Like you get to go shop for yourself and pick out whatever you want. And the part that clicked for me is then they had like a cashier and a cash register and like you got to go buy the stuff. Like somebody told me something along those lines. Like you get to go buy it. So when that clicked, I started grabbing all sorts of stuff into the cart. And I can even remember little, I don't know how big it is in real life, but to 3-year-old Jake, it was like the size of my torso, this like plastic lobster that was red. Does anybody have like a little kid memory? It's very vivid of like some toy. Big lobster. I remember like, want one of those. So I get up to line. I'm so excited. I'm so happy. My parents, you know, like normal parents, like good. He didn't understand. Now he's having fun. All of a sudden in that line, I just start like bawling and crying. Because people in front of me, I start realizing they don't get to keep this stuff. Like, you go through, they go to the little checkout thing, and then they just, like, dump it all back to, like, put it back in the store. And I was like, what? Like, me and, like, this lobster, like, are meant to be together, right? You know, like, I don't want to give this thing back. What do you mean we're buying stuff? We're not buying anything, you know? Like, what is the point of pretending like I'm going to shop? Like, that didn't appeal to me at all. Like, free toys was, like, great. I was so disappointed that it was not really worth my time at all, right? Like, it looked like grocery shopping, but it was all fake, right? And 3-year-old me couldn't handle it, right? Tantrum, meltdown. There's some cute picture I couldn't find of me, like, crying about it, right? And I'll show you a picture of Kid Jake later, though. We'll get to that. I'm cuter back then. But okay, why do I bring up that story? Well, Isaiah 55 is going to talk to us about chasing after stuff that's not real. And some of us don't throw a tantrum over that. Like we just keep playing the game, right? So let's read Isaiah 55. We're starting verse 1. It says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come. Buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." I'm going to pause here for a second. Isaiah has been talking to the people of Israel, but he shifts it here, and we'll see later. He shifts it to open to everybody, and he's saying, everybody, come and get what is going to satisfy your thirst. He says, buy something even though you don't have any money to spend. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the without cost in a second, but let's keep going. Verse 2 says, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy?" We'll pause there before we go to the rest of the verse. We all have stuff in our life that we give our time and our effort to, and at the end of that time and effort or money or whatever, we don't feel any better. You're still thirsty, right? So sometimes it's really negative stuff, right? Like you gave yourself and now to some drug or something and you're just addicted and worse off than you started, right? And others in the room are like, oh, I don't want to hear about that again. I don't struggle with that or something. But like, but maybe this week you gave a whole bunch of hours to a screen and at the end of it, you didn't feel any better. You started tired and you ended more tired. You started feeling kind of low self-esteem and you ended feeling worse, right? We put a lot of ourselves in directions that don't satisfy us. And the insane thing, right, is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, right? That's what our AA friends will teach us. But like we do it over and over, right? Like all of us are spending a lot of time or a lot of effort on things that like you really look back and cut that out of your life, you'd feel better. Like isn't that crazy? Like you'd be closer to the people in your household if the power got cut off for a day or something, right? It's like strange, right? Like, huh, what is all this doing for us? Right? Maybe some of you are like, nuh-uh, we would be hurting each other, right? Like, but God is saying to us today, I believe this, even though Isaiah wrote this 1,000 years ago, like you guys are wasting the strength I've given you on stuff that doesn't satisfy. Now, you're only going to get out of this what you put in it. So if it's vague to you still, you need to make it more specific. What's something in your life you're like, I gave some time to that and it didn't help me? I'm going to give you a moment. Think about that. I gave some effort to that and it didn't satisfy. So the rest of this verse, we're going to keep reading on. It says, listen, listen to me. This is God speaking through Isaiah. And eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. This reminds me of Jesus in John chapter 2. When he does a miracle with the wine, he doesn't just like solve the immediate crisis. He brings the best they've ever had. And Jesus in your life like doesn't want to just get you through Monday afternoon. He wants to bring actual goodness, delight, and the best, right? Think about how commercials or some whoever trying to make money off of you has manipulated you to spend your time and your money and your youth or whatever else on stuff that did not lead to delight and goodness, right? But here God's saying, like, listen, listen to me, right? I'm not putting this stuff on you to hurt you. I want what's good for you, right? Verse 3, we're going to keep reading on. Give ear and come to me. Like, we got to move, right? We can't just stay in the same spot, right? My kids sit out in the mud. Like, I have the power to clean them up unless they just stay in the mud. Like, I can't really get them clean if they just stay sitting in the mud, right? Like, Jesus wants to clean you up, but you can't just stay exactly where you're at, right? Come to me. Listen that you may live. Like, the stakes are high, right? And we know it in Western independence. Right? Like, it's not all game, right? It's not all kids' museums, Red Lobsters, right? I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. We'll talk to you a little bit about this. God wants us to be in a promised relationship with him forever. And he makes a reference here to his promise to David. But what is that really about? As we read on, and if you read the rest of this context and the chapters around it, I'm convinced this is talking about David's descendant, Jesus, who's going to rule forever on David's throne, right? And I'll explain where I'm getting that from. There's a passage, right? But here, God's wanting to invite us into that. Verse 4, read on. It's really good. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples. I don't think this is talking about David here. A ruler and a commander of the peoples. If before you got your shoes or before you made your bed today, if you got on your knees and said, Jesus, you're my king, like, and you're fitting into this, right? And you're fitting into, like, Jesus is supposed to be king. We're supposed to follow him, right? He's a witness. He shows us the way. But he's also a commander, a ruler. Verse 5, surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you. This idea that's open to the whole world, Jesus' kingdom. The rest of that verse. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. We're not going to meditate on that right now, but it'd be worth your time to spend some time thinking about, like, how has God made Jesus splendid? Be worth it, right? If you're looking for something to really think on. Verse 6, we're going to keep going on. Seek the Lord while he may be found. This sounds almost like an infomercial, right? Like, it's not going to last forever. But it's a lot scarier in this context, right? Because most people buy into this lie that I can do the Jesus thing later. There's people that were born in 1850 that had that lie, right? Well, time ran out at some point for them, right? You know, like, they're not still waiting around, right? Trying to figure it out. Jesus is open right now to anybody that wants him. Through Jesus, God is open right now to anybody that wants him. Call on him while he is near. These terrifying parables that Jesus himself tells about, like, gates being shut and doors being shut and people pounding like, I want to get it right now, and being like, I don't know you, right? Scary stuff. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. So here, Jesus isn't saying, come to God by saying a prayer and then going back to your old lifestyle. He's saying, have a new relationship with God. Get out of the mud, get cleaned up. But as soon as we start to hear that, if you know anything about how good Jesus is, or even just about how bad me and you are, it starts to get scary in its own way, right? About, like, well, I might want to get better, but I don't trust myself to get better. I'm 40 years old, and I learned a long time ago, like, I can't trust myself to always do the right thing. Has anybody else gotten to that small piece of wisdom? It's not very wise, but it's important, right? Until you can admit to yourself you can't fix all your own problems, like, you're a foolish person, right? But I got there, right? Like, I can't trust myself to always do the right thing. So when you read that God's saying, like, stop doing wrong, even in your head, it can feel like a big weight. Until you read this next part. Here's the good news. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. Mercy and grace get used a lot interchangeably, but they're not the same. Mercy is about, you did something wrong, and I'm not going to punish you for it. I'm going to pay it for you. I'm going to take care of it, right? It's about letting go on something you don't deserve let go of, right? I'm going to have mercy on you and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Now, again, earlier we talked about without cost and coming to God and getting real food. And here it says freely pardon. It's free for us. You go back in the context here in Isaiah, at the end of 52 and all 53, it's this very clear prophecy about Jesus and all that he would suffer for us. Jesus paid so God could have mercy on us. It's free to us because he footed the bill, right? And so if you're here today and you're like, I want to get right with God, Jesus can make you right with God. You got to open up to it, but you don't have to fix yourself. You got to want to come and change. You got to be willing to say, I need help. But Jesus will come in and bring the mercy. He will make it to where your bill is paid that you could never pay, right? We're going to read on a touch further. This is our last verse for today. There's so much goodness here, but I'm going to stop us so we can talk a little bit more about it. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. I will hear people when somebody they love dies. Sometimes they'll talk about, like, we don't really understand what God does stuff or why all this happens. And I hear that more connected to, like, suffering. But here, God's talking about, my brain works so different from your brain in the context of mercy. Some of us know how bad we are, and it becomes a big roadblock to having a relationship with God. And the truth that's told to us right now is that God's brain doesn't work like your brain works, and God's going to give you mercy. He's saying, come to me. Like, we have a part to do, right? We got to get up and say, like, God, I need your help. But whatever you've done in the past, you might think, like, nobody good could ever love me. Like, that's not true. God's brain doesn't work like our brain works. His ways are totally different than our ways, right? And just like there can be a three-year-old kid that does something terrible, but as an adult, you can like really want to come in with love, right? And you're not like scared of the three-year-old bully or whatever. Like your brain works differently as an adult than as a three-year-old, right? Like God's brain works differently than ours. We don't have to understand that he has mercy. He wants us. God wants you. Right? Like somebody needs to hear that today, right? Okay, so let me tell you a little bit more about this dynamic that's been on me this week as I've been thinking about it. So I got this next picture here. This is me and my dad when I was probably the same age as that lobster picture, or something roughly, right? And my dad worked nights typically when I was growing up and a bunch of jobs that were no good, like he didn't like. Something I heard from my mom later on is that as a little kid, I was a really joyful little kid. I was a happy little kid. The world has a way of trying to beat that out of you, so sometimes I'm melancholy now, but there's some joy there in me still. And as a kid, it was real vibrant, right? And so my dad would wrestle around with me, play with me, and I found out later from my mom, like, he would be having these pretty rough days, and it was a lot of fun to be around a little kid that's happy. I mean, we all like little kids, but some little kids have like anger as a primary mood or anxiety as a primary mood. Like it's no righteousness of mine. I just was like a happy little kid. And that was a gift, right? And my dad just wanted to spend time with me and for us to have a good time together. Now, I was talking to somebody this week, a good friend of mine who had a really rough childhood. And I know, like, in the room, like, there's a lot of people that, like, did not have a dad who, like, was working a job they didn't like to take care of you and then wrestling with you, right? And happy to see you. I realize, like, not everybody got that. What I want to tell you, as somebody that did get it, is, like, God is that type of dad. Who... It's like God will pay a bunch of costs that you don't understand. And then he's happy to be with you. And like, that's real truth from Isaiah. That God will pay things that you don't understand, that you don't even have to worry about. But you need to accept the time with him. We're running around looking at screens or rushing our kids to this and that thing or being so upset that we're single or whatever it is that we don't have time for our Heavenly Father. And he's saying, like, come to me and be satisfied. So, I've got some passages for you. If you want to take a deeper dive on some of this stuff, you need to write these things down. We don't have time to go into them. That Isaiah stuff, atonement, it's real important when you think about Jesus. Atonement at its most basic means that Jesus, by dying and raising again, he did something so we could get to God. And that's a basic idea as a Christian. You don't have to know how it works, just like you don't have to know how digestion works to eat. But if you want a picture of how does it work, like how did Jesus get us to God, it's not a bad place to read. It's Isaiah 52:13 through 56:8. It talks about what did Jesus do for us and what is God offering us. And for some of you, if you've spent a lot of time in the New Testament, like this might be a fresh thing for you to look at. John 7, Jesus is going to talk about this idea of people are thirsty, but they need to come to me. The same theme. Jesus is fulfilling a lot of what's talked about in Isaiah. And then Revelation 3, famous passage if you read anything in Revelation, but it's to a group of Christians that Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door of your heart, and I want to have a meal with you. Right? It's not to a group of people that have never heard about him and need to get their life together. It's a group of Christians who think they have it together. And God says, you're poor, and you don't have anything good, and you need to open the door of your heart and spend some time with me.
So you could do worse, right, than spending some time in those spots. If you told me, like, I'm going to stop watching TV at night, you know, when the sun goes down, I'm going to stop watching TV, and I'm going to try to read these things this week, I'd be like, I feel great as your pastor, to be honest, right? You know, it's a pretty low bar, like, you know, but you could do something bigger than that, but I would be happy with that. Here's the thing. It's not important what I'm happy with, though. Here's the next slide. God's the gardener. He wants to prune us if we're connected to Jesus. And at the beginning, we asked for the Holy Spirit to convict us. I believe, like, we were in line with God's will when we did all that. I think he is going to answer that prayer. So if you meant that, I think he's going to show you something to change, right? So here's the decision moment for you, right? Next picture is these flowers that don't have enough water, or they're just cut off and they're withering, whatever. Something in your life that you gave time or money or effort or prestige or whatever you got, whatever strength you got, you gave it to something and you came away feeling a little more like this. You can choose right now, not maybe for the rest of your life, but how about for the next 7 days, to give that less of your time, less of your strength, less of yourself, and then try something with Jesus, right? Now, if the Holy Spirit's telling you anything, do whatever the Holy Spirit says, but if you're like, I'm drawing a blank, and Jesus made me, you know, Jake, you're the pastor today, here's an idea that's not far removed from Scripture. You can copy off my sheet for this test, right? You know, we can fake it till we make it. Holy Spirit starts talking to you. You don't need my wisdom, but if you don't got it in this moment, here's a little bit from the Bible. So next slide. This is me and my son Samuel. I'm eating an apple fritter from Jack's Donuts. They're the best apple fritters in Kansas City. And I love apple fritters. And here's what I will say. Sometimes, if I need to go have an important interaction with somebody I care about, and I don't know what they really are into, I will take them an apple fritter, because it's like, if I don't know what you like, I'll at least bring you the best, something that I like, and we'll go from there, right? So I did that, right? And here's what I can tell you, is eating is a way to connect. And all those passages I put on the screen earlier, they have the idea of eating as a metaphor, or of drinking as a metaphor for connecting with God. And sometimes, like, just to keep it simple, like, let's just stay in the same theme. So if you need some help on, like, what do I do with all this time now that I'm not on Netflix after dark or whatever, I would say once this week, get something that you like to eat. Get something that you like to drink, whatever that is, right? That's legal, right? Like, and or that your sponsor says is okay, right? But I mean, like, so you get it, and you do the Revelation 3:14. You say, like, Jesus, you said in Revelation 3:14, you wanted to come in and eat with me. I struggle to spend time with you. I'm gonna spend time with you while I eat this apple fritter, or whatever it is. You know, if you like burn-ins from Slaps, whatever, right? But it's just you and Jesus, and some sort of food that you like. And you can read those same passages I had, right? And you're just saying, I'm here because I'm not on Netflix, and I just want to see if you're better than Netflix, right? I don't even think Jesus would be insulted by that, right? You know, like, am I going to go away from this feeling better than I go away from a bag of chips and scrolling on my phone? Like, well, let's find out. You know, like, if you come away from this thinking, like, I want to go back to Netflix, like, it'll take you back, right? You know, like, go on back. Here's the next idea. This is going to be a stretch for some of you. Luke 14, we might talk about, like, Jesus, you're the Lord of my life. Here's something Jesus says in Luke 14. He says, don't just throw a party for your friends. Don't just go do fancy things with your friends. Go find somebody that could never repay you and go have a party with them. So let's just take Jesus at his words and say, like, I'm going to cut some stuff out of my life to make space to go do a quality moment with somebody that can't repay me. Now, maybe you don't have a house. Or maybe you don't feel comfortable having somebody over to your house yet, and that's going to hang you up, or whatever. All of us have the equivalent of an apple fritter that we could share with somebody that's not going to repay us. And just go do that. Say, Jesus, we're going. We're going to get something I like. We're going to find a homeless guy hanging a sign. Or we're going to find somebody that I know from Maywood that I just know, like, they're never going to return the favor. And you just say, like, I care about this. I want to care about you. And you enjoy it with them. My guess is if you do those two things, and it takes you 2 or 3 hours this week, whatever 2 or 3 hours you've cut out, you'll be like, well, that satisfied me way, way, way more. That's what this stuff is about. I know it was real easy to hear about all of it until we got to this, but like, you got to actually enjoy Jesus. You got to actually obey Jesus in the hope that it's going to be good for you. Right? Here's a quick thought as we wrap up and do this blessing. Talking about donuts and preferences. When I was in kindergarten, we had half days of school back then, and my dad would get home from night shift, and everybody else was gone, and he would take me to Winchell's quite a bit. And now, I love donuts that taste, Winchell's are all out of business in Missouri. Closest one's in like Oklahoma. Which, anyways, I like donuts that taste kind of like that. Here's the thought I have for you. If you're here right now, you're like, man, that was good, but I still don't know exactly what I'm going to do. It's really sweet when you get time one-on-one with your Heavenly Father. And it's a good idea to take a stab at some little piece of a good moment you had with God and find a physical way to share that with somebody else who can't repay you. So like, if you had a great time with God walking in the woods, go for that. If you had a great time with God sewing a quilt, go for that. Like, figure out some way of like sweet moment you had with God that you could share that sweetness somehow with somebody else, right? And they won't understand it. You don't have to tell them the whole sermon. It's just good that like the love that God's put in you, you find ways to give that to other people, right? So I want to pray this blessing. If you guys will bow your heads, I want to pray over you guys. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.